Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tap, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's One Last Thing with co-host Slava Cooperstein. Slava, how you doing?
Doing great, Ken. Ravens offense is rolling, and everything that's an issue on defense seems fixable. So I'm going into this next week with as much optimism as I've had all season.
Yeah, a good team. It'll still be another good test for the Ravens on the road at Tampa. No matter what you think about Tampa and how much of what they've done so far is a mirage and how much of it is real, they're still one of the top 12 or 13 teams in the National Football League. And that's a solid test on the road. Anytime you face that, they scored 51 last week. That specifically doesn't bother me all that much, but, Baker Mayfield knows something about the Ravens. Concerned about that at all?
Yeah, I think Baker's is sort of operating at the level of making use of the weapons he has available to him and making good use of them. Mike Evans, of course, is always a threat. So I think it will. I don't think it's a game that the Ravens can take lightly, and I don't expect them to, particularly since it's prime time. And I think it'll be a good challenge and a good test for the defense.
All right, me too. Well, we'll jump into today's topic, and we're 6 weeks in now. We know something about the players who've gained, the players who've lost. We're going to look specifically at the players the Ravens lost from last season and really talk about, in each case, how much the Ravens really missed these guys. And I think, it was the big concern this last offseason was that this was going to be a defense in particular that's in complete turmoil. A bunch of offensive linemen lost as well, running backs, receivers, lots of players were lost. How much did that really impact the Ravens negatively? And so we'll start with some of the players you've already forgotten about that they're lost. And Slava, why don't you start us off?
Yeah. Fondly remembering our fallen comrades, Raven comrades, Dalvin Cook and Melvin Gordon, Ravens legends, both. They both remain unsigned, and that really, I think, speaks to it all. These guys are, at different moments, they delivered a little bit more than you thought maybe they had left in the tank, but that was really more about the rock bottom expectations that we had for them rather than what they were able to sort of provide. I think they'll probably be emergency signings for a team in need, maybe late in the season. But we haven't missed them at all. As you've mentioned a few times this week, the Ravens would do well to get their third running back involved to do a little bit of load management. Mm-hmm. They've been leaning very heavily on Derrick Henry, but these guys are not going to be part of that equation, nor should they be.
You know, both of them kind of typical running back decline models. Dalvin Cook is 28 years old, actually declined very rapidly from four consecutive Pro Bowl seasons to a 2023 where he rushed for 214 yards between the Jets and the Ravens. Still was in 15 ball games, but certainly not an impressive run here. In fact, he didn't have any rushing yards for the Ravens. I must be mistaking him for somebody else. I guess it was Gordon who had some good runs, or Football Reference may have this incorrect in terms of the yardage assigned between various teams. But anyway, I thought Dalvin Cook had a rush for the Ravens, but maybe not. Anyway, Melvin Gordon, 30 years old, a kind of a very typical decline model, and I don't think the Ravens miss him, of course. And you know, it's funny, you get these two guys who are younger than the guy they acquired, the guy they acquired ended up, of course, being Derrick Henry and a hell of a football player who still appears to be able to carry a very heavy load at a high rate. Just, it's one of the things about the Henry situation. Don't like spending money on running backs, but if you're going to spend money, go ahead and go for a complete outlier of a player. And Henry is that. The problem is, I don't want to hear that about every 30 or 32 year old wide receiver for the next 5 years. It's a group you really don't want to gamble on in general. And Derrick Henry just is a remarkable outlier of a running back.
No question there.
All right, let me move on. Let me do one more. I'll say that Daryl Worley is a guy who has not yet been re-signed, but I don't think the chance is zero that he ends up back with the Ravens. He's a guy who could play the back end some. Unfortunately, this summer, he didn't really look that good. Looked a step slow from last year at camp. We saw him a little bit in the preseason. A guy who, I think he possibly could help this team because they have some pretty significant depth issues at the back end half field safety role, where Worley had been pretty good in the past. You know, certainly in limited duty with the Ravens, he's a guy who had handled that. So they probably miss his play from last year a lot more than they miss because of what's happened this year. But a guy I think is still possible, he could be back.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I don't really see that Eddie Jackson is really providing them much. Daryl Worley would be a very low cost, low risk signing with, possibly some decent upside. If nothing else, it's always good to have depth in the secondary and a guy who knows the system, a guy who has definitely been on the field with Marcus Williams before, and they probably have a good understanding of where the other would be. I'd certainly be all for re-signing him. So next, I guess I'd group together Rock Ya-Sin and Kevin Seymour. Ya-Sin has had zero defensive snaps. He's been active for all six games, but has played exclusively on special teams for San Francisco. And Kevin Seymour was with the Commanders practice squad, active weeks 5 and 6, and just played special teams as well. These guys have both been relegated to special teams roles, which at this point in their careers would sort of seem the case. I don't think that there was any doubt, particularly in Yassine's case, that he was going to come back. He lost his starting job pretty quickly on a team that was initially dealing with a lot of injuries last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's a player that they miss at all, but particularly considering the draft picks they had. Kayvon Seymour would be the kind of guy who would have competed with a player like Holman for elevations early on with the desire the Ravens have, some would say a self-destructive desire to promote additional special teams players over defensive linemen early in this season. So he would have been a guy who could have filled that role for 3 weeks, and then the Ravens probably would have kept him around as long as he would have stayed. Might have been picked up by another team as well. And then potentially he's a guy who ends up getting a roster spot as rosters attrit over the course of the year. So anyway, that's it's you know, guys that I don't think the Ravens miss yet, certainly. I go to another guy that I think, you know, is gone, maybe not entirely forgotten, but that's Delshawn Phillips, who has 99 special teams snaps this year. But there's been a big drop off in his play on special teams. If you look at PFF, he has not had a defensive snap yet. Last year, he was one of the darlings of camp, making all sorts of plays in the middle of the field as a backup inside linebacker, played some in that role during the regular season. And he's probably one of the guys who the Ravens can probably get more out of him than a lot of other teams. And yet he is on the margin of the roster and probably will be for the rest of his career in the NFL.
Yeah, I think you said it all. Hopefully he'll continue, to be one of those NFL survivors. Mm-hmm. But you know, even with this renewed focus on special teams, he's not somebody that the Ravens went and pursued, which tells you that they felt pretty good about what they had, and the special teams issues that we've had so far this season really wouldn't have been impacted by maintaining him. Mm-hmm. So I'll move on to now we're sort of getting into a little bit more of guys who could have continued to contribute to the team. And we can go straight into Devin Duvernay, I think, is an interesting one. So far, not a very exciting start to his post-Baltimore career. 32 offensive snaps, one target for minus 1 yards. Devin Duvernay is a guy that just sort of seemed like the odd man out relative to the type of market he could have commanded. He and Lamar didn't really have, weren't so much on the same page. He wasn't a particularly fluid route runner. Really more probably of a gadget guy and a return specialist. And not that we wouldn't have had room for that kind of guy on the team, but he being an all-pro returner, you know, I think it was time for him to move on for us to get younger players into that position.
Yeah, I don't know what he ended up getting. I'm not going to look at it right now because I think it was probably fairly close to the vet minimum. But he's a guy who the Ravens might be able to use on some gadgetry, get Flowers down the field, do some things. And that said, you know, Flowers has been outstanding at the gadget plays. I don't like his low ADOT. I think he's not being used to maximize the value of the entire offense necessarily, but he's certainly very good at that role. It's kind of like moving Marlon Humphrey into a slot corner role. It's like maybe you're not, you know, squeezing out the most value out of Marlon Humphrey, but it still might be the best thing for your defense to do that. So with Devin Duvernay, it's kind of too bad. I don't think Deontay Hardy has been special, but they weren't going to get Devin Duvernay, I don't believe, at the exact same price they got Hardy for, which was pretty much the vet minimum. So anyway, let's move on. One guy I don't think anybody really thinks should be here. Like a lot of these guys would play better with the Ravens. Darrell Worley. You know, you go to Devin Duvernay. Maybe they find it. Maybe Delshawn Phillips would have been a better player. Maybe Kayvon Seymour. Go to this next guy. I don't think anybody wants him here anymore. That's Tyus Bowser. And what's interesting about his post-Baltimore career is he got two games right away with Seattle. That's going back to Mike McDonald, going back to an organization that knows him, that respects what he can do as an outside linebacker dropping into coverage and whatnot. And he was cut after two games, and now he's got a game with Miami. 70 total defensive snaps on the year. I guess Miami, it's a case of the connection with defensive coordinator, whose name I'm blanking on, Anthony Weaver.
Oh, Anthony. Yeah. Anthony Weaver. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you know, he got a chance with two different organizations that really knew the value of Tyus Bowser. And I got to say, it doesn't look like it's working out in either of those cases either. So we don't know exactly what happened. We might surmise that this was a problem that he had with Harbaugh over maybe return from his injury, not rehabbing it, being pissed off about getting injured in the offseason. Could have been the front office. Could have been a number of things. But we don't know the whole what's below the waterline in the iceberg on that. We just know Tyus Bowser was on the field practicing on the side for a whole long time and never came back last year. It was on NFI the whole year. That's going to leave a bad taste, no doubt, in both parties' mouths. That Bowser, because he didn't get paid, and the Ravens, because you know they were missing a star player who was on their roster and had all been already been paid a lot of signing bonus, in part to play that year. So, bad deal.
Yeah, this was. I don't think Harbaugh's really good at making it, keeping it a secret when he's displeased with a player's health situation. Which, by the way, I do think is a bad thing. For example, when Lamar was injured late in the, I think, 2022 season, where Huntley ended up starting the playoff game, he really didn't back Lamar in the way that he ought to have. Even if he's, you know, pissed off about it, and even if he's in the right to be pissed off about it, you know, this is a guy you're trying to re-sign. You need to show him some support. The point is that he doesn't really hide his feelings on it. So he clearly wasn't happy with what was going on with Bowser's rehab. I think it was time for us to move on, which is a shame because Bowser ended up, being a smart re-sign over Judon. Not that he's a better player than Judon, but just money relative to production. It was a smart way to save at that moment in time.
Yeah, it was a really good player. The same time that Roquan came back, Tyus Bowser also came back, which was a huge addition to that 2022 defense, and really was something. All right.
I guess Ronald Darby is a good one. Ronald Darby was excellent for us last year, 5.9 yards per target. Really one of the pleasant surprises in a guy who really outperformed what his expectations were. He isn't doing quite as well in Jacksonville, I believe, at 11.2 yards per target, playing 329 snaps. But that's a pretty putrid defense overall. I think that at the end of the day, if you don't have anybody around you, your numbers are going to go down. So I'm not saying that Ronald Darby's washed or anything like that. And he'd certainly be playing better here than elsewhere. He's a guy that I would have liked to have had back at a reasonable price, but it's for as much trouble as the Ravens secondary has had, or I should just say the Ravens pass defense has had, I really don't think that it's on the corners. I really think it's more so the safeties. The corners have played pretty well. We seem to have gotten a good one in Nate Wiggins. We probably have the deepest slot corner room in the entire NFL. Darby's a guy that I would have liked to have had back, but I'm not sure what move I would have made differently this offseason in order to keep him.
Yeah, it would have been like not drafting TJ Tampa or something. We have no idea who TJ Tampa is, by the way, at present. No idea at all. He's barely played. He was barely on the field at all in summer. We have no idea. And this is shaping up like a lost season for him. Now, he's healthy now, and he's getting practice reps. So I hope that at least is paying some developmental dividends to him. But we really have no idea. And they did need to get younger at corner. So Darby is a guy you probably want to move on from. I'm also with you that I think McDonald's defense and the persistent too high starting looks they used last year were very good at defending at protecting the corners and making their roles more limited and more effective at those roles and making them more effective at those roles. Darby was one of the big beneficiaries. He had the 5.9 yards per target were actually fifth in the whole National Football League for all the corners with 300 plus snaps. So right there, that should tell you a lot. It probably had to be done. And the good news is that the Ravens after their draft really come out looking pretty good at corner, even if they don't know what they have with Tampa. They're a lot closer to knowing what they have with Wiggins. All right, I'll move on. I think the next guy on the list is a guy, certainly some people wanted to re-sign, and that's Odell Beckham. Now, thank God we didn't, is all I can say. First of all, the money would have been not insignificant. It would have been, $5-6 million or something. I don't actually know what he ended up signing for Miami. I'm going to take a look at that while we're here. But one game, zero targets, and he's on IR for Miami. So it's very fortunate that the Ravens did not sign him.
Yeah, I thought Odell Beckham was washed when we signed him last year. And even though he outperformed the per snap expectations that I had for him, the guy was rarely healthy. He's worn down. I don't really know why he's still playing. He's had an accomplished career that has certainly declined for a good number of years. He hung on for a Super Bowl with the Rams, but I just don't think he has much to contribute at all. This is one that we could have seen coming from 1,000 miles away.
It's actually only 1 year, $3 million he got from Miami. I would have walked away from the table at that rate also. But the Ravens are one injury away at wide receiver from having a really serious problem right now. I think it's fair to state that even as effective as the combination of guys they have right now with Flowers and Bateman have been, Aguilar has not played all that well. And Tylan Wallace is a guy that had a couple key receptions in one game, but I wouldn't think he's going to be a guy who eats up a lot more snaps. So the Ravens are down. They're thin at wide receiver, but they just Beckham would not have been the answer in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, to me, if you're gonna add to the wide receiver room, which I could still see the Ravens doing this season. A guy like Mike Williams from the Jets is somebody that you could look at. I mean, just somebody that has anything left in the tank. I really wouldn't have been for re-signing OBJ even for something closer to the vet minimum, just because I think he's taking snaps from guy and Lamar was, feeding the ball to him, I think, more than was warranted, for whatever reason. So I just think that, taking valuable snaps from guys that need to get on the page and will be the guys that will be much more consequential in gotta have it games and gotta have it moments.
Mike Williams, by the way, you can have for about $300,000 per game from the Jets. They had a lot of prorated void money with it, but the Jets would have to, of course, accelerate all that. And I think they have the money still to do it, or they can make have restructures that would allow it to happen. But the Jets are getting closer to the line by picking up the entire Davante Adams package.
Yeah, I mean, I think they said that they've announced that Mike Williams is available for trade, or let let the Adam Schefters of the world know, just because they're trying to, I guess, pick up some draft capital now that he's going to essentially be pushed off to the end. You know, somebody who's going to be a role player in a specific, a jump ball kind of guy, or somebody that adds a different dimension to this offense. I think that's what the Ravens need. I don't think that they need to be paying for a name that meant something 8 years ago, but doesn't mean so much now. So next up, I would go with Geno Stone. We got to see him recently on the Bengals. That entire secondary had a pretty bad game. He has a 21.2 missed tackle rate, not great. 5.2 yards per target on 16 targets. Not a lot, but Geno Stone, I think, is somebody, particularly now, we would have liked to have had back. I think Geno wanted to, get a little bit more money than what the Ravens were willing to pay, and the Ravens were confident in their ability to either find a safety or develop another one. And so far, that is one of the few, I think, things that have not panned out.
He is still a very young man, by the way, still 25.4 years old as of now, which surprises the hell out of me, given, this is his fifth year in the league. But he came into the league with the Ravens at 21 in 2020. Actually, he was drafted right very shortly after his 21st birthday. So he's a very early draftee. And he's you know, not the greatest cover guy at this point. I don't know how the Bengals are using him, so I'm not really in a position to say. If they're trying to use Geno as a strong safety, it's a square peg round hole situation. Geno Stone is a half field safety who has, you want to use his tremendous instincts and eyes on the football from the back end to come downhill and make plays on the ball, not on the carrier. It looks like from the last game, he improved his missed tackle rate some by making all six of his tackles. He's down to only an 18% missed tackle rate now. Still terrible. But anyway, a guy who I can wish him the best, even though he's with Cincinnati. I don't have the same kind of schadenfreude I have for, say, Patrick Queen, who we'll get to in a couple minutes. Let's move on. I'll talk about one of the two running backs lost. Let's go to Gus Edwards first. Gus is a guy who, when he left the Ravens, had the highest success rate in NFL history at 57.4%. Now, that is buoyed by having Lamar Jackson around and creating good second-level opportunities for him. That said, he still had a great career with the Ravens. Incredibly consistent running back who did it all. They changed the offense a little bit in his last year here with Monken, much less use of a fullback. His yards per carry dropped off a little bit. I think the Ravens, basically using the typical running back model, got out at the right time on Edwards. He's got 3 yards per carry for Los Angeles this year, a career low 42.1% success rate. So that's down 15 points only 38 carries, and he's on IR. So I think you'd have to say the Ravens probably made the right decision on that. And certainly if it's a case of Henry or Edwards, even at three times the price for this year, I think you do it.
Yeah, agree. They made the right call. It's certainly one that a lot of people criticized. And I think by traditional sort of roster construction, when I say traditional, I mean the conventional wisdom of the day is that you can save money at a few particular positions, running back being one of them. But the Ravens decided that they wanted something really more out of their running back room. And they've got it in Henry. And, the play action is so deadly, right?
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium, 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Access big savings every day. All in the Kroger app. Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now in a way that it really, you know, hasn't been quite as much in past seasons, and that dynamism that Henry brings is not something necessarily that Gus Edwards was able to provide, even though he was incredibly consistent. And it does seem timing wise that the Ravens got out at the right moment. So to follow up on Gus Edwards, go with J.K. Dobbins, his running mate over there with the Chargers. Dobbins is having, you know, an incredible season, 6.1 yards per carry, 41% success rate, but 4 yards per target, and is absolutely, I think anybody would say, candidate for comeback player of the year. I'm assuming that Rodgers is more likely to get it just because he's a quarterback. But I think J.K. Dobbins is playing better than Aaron Rodgers is. I mean, he's showing some, you know, a lot of burst, a lot of strength. You know, he's shown incredible resilience in the face of adversity, and showing himself to be a very mentally tough individual, just being able to come back from two brutal season-ending injuries, which came at such a heartbreaking time. I think it was just time for both parties to move on. You know, Dobbins was unhappy with his usage early on in his career, and probably thinks that affected his earning potential, particularly when he did end up getting injured. So there's less film on him, that's understandable. I just think it was a change of scenery was best for both parties.
Right. And in some ways, it's a change back to the old scenery for him, going back to Greg Roman's running game out in L.A. And the one thing I'll say is I don't think he's ever really fulfilled his promise, expectation of the time of the draft as a receiver. And he's now at 3.8 yards per carry this year. Per target this year. And that's a frustrating number. I mean, and that's something that with Monken, it might have improved. No sour grapes about losing him at all. I think the Ravens have made the right decisions in the backfield. I wouldn't have given Dobbins money. I don't remember what he signed for, but he'd either be a 1-year Band-Aid at a very low contract amount, or a bargain 2-year deal, which still might be $5 or $6 million. I'm just going to it right now. So he's making only $1 million this year, $1,130,000 on a 1-year deal. Sure, would I have been okay having him back at that rate? Absolutely, but I'm not really bothered by either. Justice Hill's having a great year, and it would be tough to be without him and having Dobbins taking a lot of his snaps.
Yeah, that's a great point. Justice Hill has been one of the real pleasant surprises this year. Even though he improved his play going back into last year, he's really earned that 2-year contract extension.
All right, I think we're back to me again. Let's start talking about some of these linemen, because I think they are each a slightly different case. But I'll start it off with John Simpson. Actually, I'll start off with Morgan Moses, because he's hurt now, and I think the drop off in play the Ravens had correctly projected based on his injury status. He's missed some time this year as well. Had played in 3 games of the first 5, 168 total snaps. I don't have that including the Monday night game, but a fairly substantial drop off in play if you buy PFF, and I think in terms of relative sense they're going to be fairly good at allocating damage from that drop off. But it's what's great about the Ravens is they sucked the absolute cream off Morgan Moses' career. His 2 best years were in Baltimore playing in this system. I think he's the kind of model you can point to when you want to lure another veteran lineman to this system.
Yeah. Just when Morgan Moses got traded, I think a lot of us were surprised. I certainly was. And I thought to myself, the only reason I could see us doing it, given how cheap he was, was because they were projecting that he was going to start to kind of fall off a cliff a little bit. He was injured a decent amount last year. So I think that they had significant durability concerns. And so if that's the case, you're absolutely right. They projected that perfectly. And seems like we've got a good one in Rosengarten, whether he's Whether he's going to be able to make it to the left side at any point in his career remains to be seen, but he has great feet. He doesn't seem to be lost and has gone against some pretty tough pass rushers so far and acquitted himself nicely. So next up, I would probably go to John Simpson. I don't think anybody was terribly sad to see John Simpson go. I think we miss him more than we might have thought, at least before McCary came in and solidified that left guard role. I think there was a lot of hope that Voorhees was going to solidify that for us. He might just not quite be ready yet. Remains to be seen. But McCary has been playing very well there the past couple games. John Simpson, I think, pretty much continues to be more or less who he is. I mean, he's played pretty well. He's only had three penalties over 327 snaps. 74.8 pass blocking score from PFF. But, you know, in some of the primetime games that I've seen, he's a guy that continues to fall down a lot. And, he is who he is at this point in the career. He brought some decent things to the table last season. But, I think it's probably a good thing that we moved on from him.
Yeah, I thought he had a good game against Buffalo on Monday night. But he's probably reduced his penalties a little from his time in Baltimore. He's got three, as you mentioned. He was at one every 95.5. It looks like from judging from this, he's at one every 130 right now. So that is an improvement. That was the biggest problem with him. And I don't have a record right now in front of me of whether those penalties are holding calls or they're post snap fouls. But John Simpson just was consistently shooting himself in the foot with these post snap fouls that really hurt his value. But this very, very well could be having the best snap, the best run of his career right now. I'll move on. The next guy I want to bring up is the last lineman lost, and one of the most difficult ones was Kevin Zeitler. He's played four games so far, and I'll need to check that because I'm not sure if I've got the Lions data in there or not. But let's see. Yeah, he's now played five games. He's played pretty well for the Lions. Definitely seemed like if after the guard market had gone absolutely bananas the first few days of free agency, we saw Zeitler not getting any bites. Then he finally gets signed by Detroit fairly late in the process for 1 year. I think it was around $6 million. I'll have to look at that up to confirm I'm in the right zone here. And that seemed too inexpensive. It's $5.94 million. That seemed like a real bargain relative to the other guard contracts, especially since you're only paying it for 1 year. So I think the Lions front office made a good move in this case. They got a good player, and I think he'll be a big part of however far they go this year. And I know they've just suffered a very serious injury with Hutchinson, but I still believe that's one of the top five teams in the National Football League right now.
If Fa'alele continued to play at the level he's played at, let's say the last 3 weeks, mm-hmm. for the remainder of the season on average, how would you view the decision to let Zeitler go when comparing what they're being paid?
Okay, so I first of all, I doubt Fa'alele can maintain this, but his last 3 weeks he was CDA in terms of his grades for the week, and I'd say I'm very happy with Fa'alele at the bargain basement price, and you have him for 2 years at that bargain basement price. If I was certain that he could play at that level, I'd be signing in blood for that kind of a C plus B minus roughly level of play over these last 3 weeks. Would I be? Yeah, I'd rather have that than Zeitler at $6 million. Just it literally is in this case 80% of the player at almost exactly 20% of the price. It's one time when the 80-20 rule almost
yeah
exactly
actually works out. I would say that if Fa'alele's development sort of continues at this curve or stabilizes or whatever you want to say about that, then it I think it ends up being you know, a net positive. But even if it's, you know, even if he's a little bit more up and down throughout the rest of the season, it's probably a wash.
Fowler is one of the interesting players now because the Ravens have all these guys they want to extend this offseason who are finishing up their third year. While Lele amazingly could join that group. You know, Owe is on a fifth-year option, so he's getting it after he would be getting an extension after the fourth year, and it'd still be early. Linderbaum after the third year is the appropriate time. They've got Hamilton who could be a year early, but they can afford to wait one more year on him. At least I think they can. And they have Travis Jones, Isaiah Likely. So they've got a whole bunch of players, and now Daniel Faalele is threatening to be joining this group of players who. It might make real sense to try and sign them early. And I hope Ravens fans are ready for an off season of signing their own and really try to get bargains on these guys. Cause I don't think there's an outside superstar coming in for next year. I don't see it.
Well, and you know, if you're a little bit older than folks who just got interested in or started following in the Lamar Jackson era, you were used to that. Mm-hmm. You would you know, jump up and down when they re-signed Haloti Ngata, Terrell Suggs, Ray Lewis, the Todd Heaps of the world, when those guys got second contracts because you just, they were such critical components to the team. We were really used to that. We were never really a big free agent type of team. Meanwhile, the then Redskins were signing the Albert Hainsworths of the world. Yep. And, quote unquote, winning the offseason, and it's $100 million down the drain. We've drafted really well, and we've hit really well these past couple of years. Even some of the more recent drafts, which were, I think, criticized in the beginning, have sort of turned out to be better than we thought they were upon reflection. And we have some really, really great players to keep that should be the envy of the rest of the league. So then I guess I'll go to the we're leaving Schadenfreude for last or?
Sure, Schadenfreude to last.
Okay, so then I'll go to Jadeveon Clowney, who so far this season is looking like 201 snaps and it just is not playing at the same level per PFF as he did this last year. I think this is another player, though, who – would be contributing better were he still on the Ravens, and B, you know, I wonder, I think, you know, 4 weeks into 3 to 4 weeks into the season, we were really bullish on what the pass rush room looked like, but Owe hasn't, you know, seems to have leveled off a little bit or run out of, I don't know if he's run out of gas, but he's not producing like he was in the very start of the season. Kyle Van Noy is pretty old for the position, and it's not reasonable to expect that he's going to find the fountain of youth every single week. So Jadeveon Clowney is somebody that I think we certainly could have used. But that being said, you know, you sign him, you don't get Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is literally winning us games. And it's playing out of his mind. So what I'll say is I'm happy with the decisions that we've made thus far, but I don't think it's as clear cut as it seemed even 2 to 3 weeks ago.
With Clowney, the Ravens, one of the problems is the Ravens, I don't think the Ravens have room for another pass rusher. So it'd be a matter of who would they trade away. But Clowney's a really interesting case if you wanted to reacquire him, because basically – the Carolina Panthers know they made a bad signing. They signed him for 2 years, $20 million. His cap number is $6 million this year, but his salary is only $2 million this year. So if you reacquire him, you're only paying slightly over $100,000 per game, about $120,000 per game to have him on the roster. I think I would consider it. It would be a matter of what they wanted in exchange. I think the Panthers would start off wanting kind of a lot. And when I say that, it's not going to be a third round pick like the receivers are going for here in the last couple of days, but maybe a fourth round pick or a fifth round pick. I think that the thing they would want to do is emphasize the fact that they've eaten all this prorated money for Clowney, and you have an option for next year. So if he does end up being a great player, the rest of the season, you could have him for next year at $8.5 million, which that option is not – it's out of the money right now, okay? And I know that you finance people understand what I mean when I say that, but it could be in the money by the end of the season. You could really say, $8.5 million for Clowney for one more year? Yeah, I'll do that, particularly if he came back to Baltimore and the scheme is as friendly to him and Chuck Smith is working out. The problem is I don't really know how they get him on the field as much as you need to this year. You could trade a player in exchange for him. If you didn't want to trade a draft pick, would you trade David Ajabo for Clowney right now?
I mean, I would, because he really hasn't shown anything. And the Panthers aren't going anywhere. They're not doing anything. They need a body, right? So, and he's cheap, right? So it's not like they're like getting a major contract on the books or anything like that, you know? So the money works. David Ajabo plus, probably some marginal.
Nothing.
You think just
I'd make that trade straight up. I don't if there's a seven involved, then I don't really care. But if there's anything higher than that, I probably wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
It's one of these things that I don't think you need to throw in anything. It's 2 years of David Ajabo for 1 year of Clowney, and I'm not sure that if you're the Carolina Panthers, that doesn't look pretty attractive.
Yeah, I agree. Plus, Clowney gives you obviously a lot more in the sort of edge setting, and just in the run defense of it all as well. So he's able to provide relief to more types of players. He can also he's big enough to kick inside at different points. The Ravens didn't make much use of that last year, but given how low they're going with the interior lineman, that could be more attractive this year. It's something I would certainly consider.
Yeah. All right. Well, interesting trade idea. I'll probably talk that one over with Voss. He'll have some interesting new twist on that he'd like to add, but that'd be a good one. Well, the last guy on the list is Patrick Queen. Now, a lot of things make Patrick Queen the target for our Schadenfreude. I think that's correct. We're the ones who have Schadenfreude, right? We're the ones who have, yes. He's gone on to Pittsburgh, and we revel in every missed tackle. One of the things about Patrick Queen is a little bit of a thin skin when he was here in terms of what was happening on Twitter. I know athletes, this cannot be easy. I mean, it's a fair comment profession. So it's one where fair comment means public figures who are in entertainment and oftentimes you'll hear a restaurant review column is called fair F-A-R-E comment because they're making a play on words. And those things are allowed to be reviewed in the most critical sense and compared and found lacking by journalists without it being libelous. So anyway, the nature of the Queen situation is such that he had a very thin skin with that. I've heard other players talk at the podium and talk about how, some of these things really hurt. I've heard Jimmy Smith say that at the podium in terms of what they're saying. And I agree, it's not an easy profession, but it's also one where you got to have earmuffs on to a lot of what's going on social media. In some ways, I'd say your family sometimes needs to have earmuffs too. So that goes out to Kamala Correa's mother, who had some nasty things to comment on one of my articles one time. But anyway, Patrick Queen also said some things when he left Baltimore, which were a little bit unkind and got at the rivalry and whatnot. So nothing but Schadenfreude from this town for Patrick Queen. He's had his missed tackle rate through six games now. Let me make sure I've got this updated properly. He's sitting at 18.9%. He's basically two missed tackles a game. He's back to the player he was the year before. We won't even talk about when he became a good player in 2022 and whether that was the beginning of the season or it was a little bit before, Roquan got here. But in 2021, he was still not a very good football player. He's basically back to that level right now. That's the level he's playing at. Damn ain't the beer cold.
Yeah. This is kind of a sort of the trapping of going after the highest money that's offered to you. You need to be really honest with yourself about the player you are and whether you're going to succeed in the in your new situation, because quite frankly, if I recall, the Steelers can get out of that contract pretty quickly and pretty easily. And you know, he's not really giving them a reason to continue to hold on to him. And had he gone on to a another place where he could have been a fairly well played complementary role or role player on a better defense, he might have had a better chance of extending his NFL career, you know, longer and longer. I mean, I understand, you know, take the money that's in front of you when you can, because you never know when which snap is going to be your last. So I certainly understand that aspect as well. But I think it's pretty clear from Patrick Queen's, you know, Twitter escapades and whatnot, that he had a pretty high sense of self that exceeded his playing ability.
Right. I mean, he did think he was going to get like 4 years, $72 million. I think somebody actually suggested that. And
was that too low or something?
He said that's too low. Yeah. Say nothing. But he ends up getting 3 years, $41 million. And you've characterized the contract correctly, that he get $14.1 million of that is in first year money. And the remaining $27 million roughly is money the Steelers can completely get out of next year. So they don't have to pay him another dollar if they don't want to. Now, $14.1 million was a lot for Patrick Queen for this year. That you know, they didn't get a bargain on that, but they're not locked in the way that the Browns are locked into Deshaun Watson into this deal, certainly, or even, you know, in a position that a lot of these contracts are, where the last year of a 3 year deal is the only reasonable time to cut the guy. So anyway, Queen is who he is. And you know, it's a shame. You know, I can't honestly say at this point how much of my views of Patrick Queen are even still colored by the fact that he was a draft pick I really didn't believe in. The guy I wanted was Xavier McKinney. I made no bones about it at the time. In fact, if anybody wants to look at how upset I was, take a look back at the draft show from the night Queen was drafted. It's still out there. You can look at the video. You can actually see my face for what's happening when Patrick Queen is drafted and how upset I am about it. And then still, like, for the next 45 minutes or so after that, the guys on the rest of the show are saying, "Ken, are you okay?" Kind of. Like, no, I'm not okay. You know. But anyway, didn't like the idea of drafting a linebacker at that point. And then you have to just take on the point of, well, if the Ravens like him, I like him, kind of thing. And with Queen, it never really became the player that we hoped he would be. It's not fair. He probably did become the player we hoped he could be in Baltimore. It's just there's such a big ramp up to that from those first 2 years and from all the you know, lost nature and coverage that I don't think the draft pick worked out for the Ravens.
No, I agree. I guess the you know last thing I would say about him is he hasn't been quite the double agent that Alejandro Villanueva was. Uh-huh. I think that might be an all-time you know all-time just criminal mastermind move by the Steelers just to you know get in our heads that that he might be a decent signing, but we also paid the guy a lot less than the Steelers paid Patrick Queen. So
yeah, all right, Slava, always a pleasure doing the show with you. I think this was a fun walk down memory lane on some of these players who are gone now. A mix of players, some of them obviously, some of the linemen in particular. Maybe the Ravens really could use Kevin Zeitler. I think they'd certainly want back if they had him. But honestly, for such a large group of players lost, the Ravens took remarkably little of a hit to the team's overall quality from losing the players they did.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right. Slava, tell folks where they can talk football with you online or anything else.
I'm on Twitter at Slava Cooperstein. That's SlavaCooperstein. Come tweet at me, Patrick Queen.
Okay, other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a Film Study Short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. Got some great new ideas coming in. If you have, in particular, if you're on Twitter and you want to pass along to me an interesting chart, that is a lot of people that I have on the show, or people that have a particular idea relative to some chart they've created, usually from NFL Fast Star with the I forget the name of the package that they use to display it on, in graphical form. But if you have one you think is particularly interesting, send it to me so at least I get a chance to see it. My Twitter feed is jammed with all kinds of stuff, and I don't always see everything. For Slava Cooperstein, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye, and we'll talk to you next week on One Last Thing.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.